So we're doing a message called Principles for a Sent People. And so we saw last week in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, that Jesus called the 12 apostles, named them by name, and then called them his apostles, and then he sent them out. And we said that apostles were like ambassadors. They are a sent people on behalf of somebody else, so that the power and the authority that they have is not their own. It's actually that of the person who sent them out. And so that is the apostles, but that's also us, because we still are a missionary people. We are sent ones that God is sending out with his power and with his authority. In fact, he tells us that in Matthew chapter 28, that all authority belongs to him and that he wants us to go and make disciples. And so he's going to be with us the entire time we're doing that. So let's read Matthew chapter 10, 5 through 15. And then if you're taking some notes, principles for a sent people, because what we'll see here is about a dozen instructions, right? I think the very first verse here says that Jesus sent them out and gave them some instructions. So if you count them up, it'd be like 11 or 12 different instructions you might come up with in there. Some of those would not apply to us today. A lot of those things you might go, well, I don't think I could go out and raise the dead. That's one of the things he told them to go out and do. At least the physically dead. I don't think anybody here has probably raised a physically dead person. Anybody? No? All right. So, but there are principles certainly that are in the passage that that we can take away and that we want to be able to use. So, Matthew 10, 5 through 15. These 12 Jesus sent out, these 12 apostles, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff. For the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. That's a pretty harsh statement right there. So principles for a sent people. We'll pull out a few of these tonight and talk about these. We'll see principles. Number one is that we have a particular ministry. Number two, a particular message. Number three, a particular method. And then number four, a particular mindset. So, number one, we have a particular ministry. You see there in verses 5 and 6 that Jesus sent out the disciples, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost people of the house of Israel, or the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Jesus sent the apostles with a really particular ministry for the season that they were in. And he was just saying, hey, here's what I got. You're early on in your training. I'm going to send you out. I don't want you to go to the Gentile people. You know, they are unbelievers. They're not the nation of Israel. They're not God's people. It's his chosen people. Don't go to the Samaritans because we look down on those people too. Just go to the Jewish people. And so you might go, wow, that's pretty harsh. I mean, that's not cool. Well, we know that Jesus broadens that later, but right now he had a particular ministry for them. When he was getting ready to ascend back into heaven in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and then you're going to be my witnesses in, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so he was going to broaden that, but right there in that moment, he knew what they could handle, what they needed, and what he wanted them to do. And we may never know all the reasons for that, of why he did that, and we may never know all the reasons that he calls us to do specific things as well. So the question that you and I need to wrestle with is, you know, what is the particular ministry that God is calling me to right now? Or maybe this, who is the particular person that God is calling me to minister to now in this moment? He might not be calling you to go overseas right now, Nora. I would say God's not calling you to be a missionary to Honduras tomorrow, I don't think. You know, so you're probably not going to buy a plane ticket tonight and head over, but it's a very good chance that as you grow up, that God could put a call on your life, and that as you reach maturity and adulthood, that He would at that point call you to a more particular ministry in a different area. So one thing that we want to embrace in this season of life is just that we want to be aware of the harvest that's right around us and the ministry that God is calling us to, and not get so caught up on trying to do everything that we miss what's right in front of us and the thing that's God is calling us to in that moment, the person that He wants to minister to, because He wants us to grow through that. So not only does God call us to a particular ministry in a particular season of our life, but He also gives us a particular message. And this is something that doesn't change, right? Because verse 7 says this, "And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So Jesus gave His disciples a really clear message. He told them what to say. And they could just go through the towns, villages, tell people that God was calling them, that God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, was present, and therefore the kingdom is present, and we are now under His rule and His reign. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we have that same message to proclaim, right? That the Son of God has come, and that we are living as citizens of His kingdom, and we're inviting other people into that message and into that life so that Jesus can be their Lord and their Savior and their King and their Master. And so we want to make sure that we're proclaiming that message and not being a people who allow that message to get lost. Because it's easy to be a people who get caught up in arguing or debating or dividing or looking for small ways inside of religion to divide against each other, or getting hung up on a particular kind of a sin, or getting hung up on getting our religion tangled into politics. There's all kinds of ways that the message of Jesus Christ could kind of get watered down or lost, but we want to be a people that maintain that message, that we are calling people to Jesus to be a part of His kingdom, and then allowing Him to change them. Does that make sense? So the question we have to ask ourselves is, who have I been proclaiming that message to? So as we say, hey, we are God's family, part of His kingdom, and we are a sent people, not only do we want to ask, who is He sending me to, but maybe examine ourselves and say, what message have I been saying to them? Because it's easy to maybe just be a kind person around somebody and just kind of cross your fingers and hope that that might eventually be enough. But we're also called to be a people that uses words to share the good news about Jesus. So that might be a challenge for you this week to take on. Number 3, we have a particular method, right? Verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. So you might go, well, where's the particular method in that, right? Well, the particular method in there is that when you go out this week, CP, leave your wallet at home. Don't take any money with you. Don't take your cell phone. And no bag for your journey, right? Only one tunic, so not two like you normally have. So, you know, a lot of that won't apply to us these days. In fact, that actually changed for the disciples. Like we said earlier, the particular ministry that God gave them actually broadened. But in Luke chapter 22, you see Jesus sending out His disciples again. And He said, hey, you know what? Remember when I told you before to go out and not to take this and not to take that? Well, He tells them in that passage, well, now I'm telling you different. Do take those things with you, because the time is coming when He is leaving. And He's like, now I want you to go out. You've learned to trust Me and be able to walk out in faith in any situation. but now you're going to couple that together with wisdom. Take what you need and keep the trust and walk out and trust God with what you need to do. So there's really two particular methods I think that we see in there. One, we see God's power and we see His provision. So what I mean by that is this, is that we are a people that go out and we trust that God's power is already at work calling people to Himself. And we're going to be a people that trust that God's going to meet our needs, and we're going to serve other people and give generously to other people and meet their needs. We may not be able to heal their diseases. We know that God can obviously still heal people, and we pray for Him to do that. But we also serve people in other ways that bring life. And so we want to trust His power to do that and not be stingy with what He has given us, but freely give that to other people and not have to question, well, is God going to get me back for this? Is He going to replace what I'm investing in this person? But just know that God's going to meet all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus, right? So we're going to trust His power to work in people, but also His provision to meet our needs for the ministry that He's calling us to. You've probably heard this phrase before, right? That where God guides, He provides. And that's so true. Like, you guys that have been missionaries, you know this better than anybody else. Well, we're all missionaries, right? But you know this better than anybody else, that it's so cool when you're in a situation where you have nothing and you don't know how God is going to work, and then He does work. Like, that seems to be where He shows off the best, right? When it seems like, humanly speaking, there's no way, and then you pray, and then God makes a way, and like, wow, that is so cool to see God working. So definitely using that particular method of trust, no matter what our situation is, that we're going to trust God's power and His provision for ministry and not trust our own selves and our own power and our own abilities. And then we have a particular mindset as missionaries. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet. And when you leave that house or town, truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. So what's our mindset as we approach folks as missionaries of the Lord Jesus Christ? Our mindset is that we are looking for that person of peace, that we're trusting that if God has sent us out, that He is going to give the increase, that He's going to provide that person of peace that we're looking for in that situation, and that when we find that place, that we're going to settle in there and we're going to do work from there out of that place as long as God is leading us to stay there. And then if those people are receptive, we're going to go deep with them. And if there's other people that we're ministering to that are not receptive, we're not going to spend a lot of time and energy forcing something that doesn't seem like it's ready. Kind of like picking fruit before it's ripe. I think we've talked about this before, where when fruit, like we have a peach tree in our backyard, and when the peaches are ripe, they just kind of fall off right in your hand, right? You don't got to tug on them very much. They just come right off. The squirrels have found that out because they like to go crazy on these peaches. So we've actually started picking them sometimes before they actually are all the way ripe so that the squirrels don't get them. So we got to tug at them, yank them off, and then store them and put them in the sun somewhere and let them ripen the rest of the way. So, but as missionaries, we have this mindset of salvation belongs to the Lord. And He's the one that's supernaturally drawing people to Himself. And so we just want to go out with that mindset of saying, hey, we're going to go where God sends us. And as we come upon a house or a person, or maybe a coworker, maybe a neighbor, and they seem receptive to just you as a person first, right? Like, hey, how you doing? You know, if they shove you off at that point, pretty unreceptive. You could try a few more times, but you know, the Bible tells us that we shouldn't throw our pearls to pigs and spend all of our time just going down a road that's not going to produce any fruit or not add any value. And so what we want to do instead is look for that person that seems receptive, share the message with them, and then go deep. And that can be a different mindset than maybe that you've had before. A lot of times we can just try to go broad and touch a lot of people but not see much fruit or see people go deeper in discipleship. And so here in this season of ministry, what we really want to do is be a people who recognize where God is working, go meet Him there, and then be okay doing ministry with that person in that place at that time, and then see where God will carry it. And then if there's a person that just continues to shut you down, Jesus gives the disciples this instruction that they are to shake the dust off of their feet when they leave that house or that town. So that's just kind of a way of saying that you're kind of cleansing yourself from that and you are just walking away. You're not holding any grudges and you're just going, hey, my conscience is clear. Paul gives that message at one point in the book of Acts when he says, hey, my conscience is clear because I've given the gospel, I've shared the good news, and for those who have not received it, in some ways what he's saying is, that's on them. That's between them and the Lord. If it was up to you to save people, man, that would be a really hard burden to bear, right? If you're like, and that's sometimes the mindset we go into when we start to share the gospel with folks or start a relationship with folks is like, I don't want to mess this up. But really, as long as you're obeying God, you're not messing it up. And so you just got to step out in obedience and trust Him to give you the words that you need to say. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. So Sodom and Gomorrah, they received a pretty stiff punishment, right? And they were a wicked city that God punished with fire and brimstone. And so he's saying that now, because of this even more enlightened understanding of who God is and that his son is now here and the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that these folks seem to have even more responsibility for the message that they're hearing. And for those that reject Jesus now, he's saying that the judgment for them is actually going to be worse. And so it's not probably out of bounds in a loving and gracious way as you've tried to minister to somebody to share with them and let them know, like, hey, I've shared. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been rejected when you're trying to share the gospel. Anybody here ever had a door slammed in your face or anybody just tell you to get lost or I never want to hear that again? I think it's okay in those moments to let those folks know that. Like, hey, you know what? I love you. I care about you. I've tried to share this with you. It's obvious that you don't want to hear it. And I'm just turning you over to the Lord. And my prayer is that one day He'll get your attention and that whatever that looks like, that He'll make you realize that He is real, that He loves you and cares about you. And then set yourself free from that. I've had to do that before with friends in my life and who had just rejected the Lord and were walking away from Him, were going down a bad path. And even their parents would come to me crying and like, I don't know what to do about my son. I'm like, I hate to say it, but I think we just got to turn him over completely to the Lord, no matter what the circumstances might have to be to get his attention to come back to the Lord or come to the Lord in the first place. And so that's a hard thing to do, but it's also for us as believers a freeing thing to do as a sent people. Remember, we are ambassadors going on behalf of somebody else, not going on behalf of ourselves, but going on behalf of somebody else. And so we can have a loving mindset, but still be particular in that moment to say, I'm going to pay attention to where the fruit is ripe. I'm going to minister there in that harvest, and then I'm going to reap that harvest. And the things that are not ripe, I'm going to leave them alone until a future season. And if we do those things, I think we'll be more effective as missionaries, as people who are trying to call people into kingdom living inside of micro churches and inside of this new season that God is calling us to as a people. All right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks so much that you've given us this example, your discipleship to these apostles, sending them out. Lord, thank you for sending us out as your sent people, Lord, as your ambassadors. God, I pray that you would make us better at what we do. Lord, I pray that we'd be more in tune with your Spirit, that we'd see where you're working. Lord, that we would be filled up by you, abiding in you, growing in you. And Lord, that you would begin to just give us a harvest. Lord, that you would produce fruit here in the life of the church. And God, that we could stand here in future weeks and celebrate the folks that are being drawn to you, the folks that are coming to faith in you, that are being baptized. And Lord, I just pray that here in Roanoke, you would send revival. Lord, that you would give us an increase, Lord, not for us or our glory, but for yours. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.